I'm Marco Werman with The World. It's going to be a frigid night here in Boston, perfect for curling up with some dark and moody Scandinavian crime fiction. If you're a fan of noir novels from Sweden, Norway, and Denmark, you may have noticed that the villains in these books are often Nazis or neo-Nazis or people with something Nazi-related in their past. That is not a coincidence, says Linda Rugg. She teaches Swedish literature at UC Berkeley.
There are two reasons that are related to one another. So Sweden, as you know, during the Second World War was neutral. Norway and Denmark were occupied, and Finland were occupied by the Nazis. And so they all have a past relationship with Nazism. And for the Swedes, especially, this is kind of like a dark secret of their past. So it's only now sort of starting to come to light that there were people who were collaborators, you know, the people who worked with the Nazis, and there's more literature being produced about that. In neutral Sweden, yeah. So you'll see that, for example, Henning Mankell mentions that, the guy who created the Wallander series, he mentions that in his first novel. One of the people in the novel sold black market meat to the Nazis, right? So that was a kind of innocuous one. But there's sort of this Nazi past. You see that also in a novel by the Norwegian author Jo Nesbø, mm-hmm. who wrote a novel called Redbreast, in which one of the main characters actually is a soldier who's a Norwegian who served with the German army. So they're sort of excavating a past that they had buried for a long time.
It's fiction, yeah. But does it reflect a reality on the ground today where there are lots of skinheads and neo-Nazis, even across various social classes?
That was the next thing I was going to mention, was that sort of feeds into today's neo-Nazi movement, which really very much draws on the past and the racial ideology that was also in Sweden. Sweden had a eugenics section in the university. So
how recently?
Oh, that was back before the Second World War. Okay. But it was part of the Scandinavian past to have this interest in eugenics and racial, what the Germans like to call racial hygiene.
Right.
So they have that in their past, and now they have the far-right movements that also draw on that past.
So tell me about the novelists. Do they see themselves as kind of activists, or are they just coming up with the next sexy villain of the month?
You know, it depends. I think that some of the novelists, for example, Henning Mankell, the guy who created Wallander,
right.
He was published by a press called Wordfront, and it's a radical press. And he really thought of himself as being a political messenger. And Stieg Larsson definitely thinks of himself, or thought of himself, unfortunately passed away, as a political messenger. He's a journalist. That was his job. Somebody like Jo Nesbø is maybe less explicitly someone who's engaged in spreading a political message, but definitely when his public persona in Norway is he's come out and spoken about political issues. And Redbreast, the book that has the Nazi soldier in it, was actually about his own family, where there was a collaborator. So, some of them, not all of them, but some of them are definitely writers with a mission.
How does all this fiction play out in the real world? Does it energize the far right, who may see some of these characters as anti-heroes, or is it kind of alarmist enough to the social democrats who are saying, we got to stop this?
I don't know whether the fiction has that much of an impact on how politics play out in Scandinavia. I think that what's interesting about this is that the fiction has gained international recognition and has spread throughout not only the English-speaking world, but it's been translated into all these different languages. And so what's happened is that the image that we have of Scandinavia from the outside is produced to an amazing degree by the crime fiction that Scandinavia produces, which is not, I would say, a total picture of Scandinavia. And I don't think that they would see themselves as influenced by the crime fiction. I think that it's more that the crime fiction reflects to a degree some of the concerns that they have in their societies.
Do you think Swedes are a little bit worried that that reputation from the fiction kind of gets locked in as reality?
Yes, they talk about that. Oh. They say, is this really the image we want to produce? I mean, what happens, as you probably understand, is that you have a bestseller, like some mega, mega bestseller, like Stieg Larsson's, you know, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series. And the Scandinavians then can really only get crime fiction translated into English. You know, publishers really only want to hear about crime from Scandinavia. And so what has happened is that more and more writers have started to write crime fiction, even writers who were not crime fiction writers. I'd say, well, maybe I could make a crime fiction out of this thing, because that's a way to get heard, right? It's a way to get translated. And it's something that the Scandinavians bemoan to a certain degree. It's like, wait, you know, how did we get sucked into this vortex of producing only crime fiction about ourselves?
Linda Rugg is a professor of Swedish literature at UC Berkeley. Thank you.
Thanks.